Hello, you're on the air with John DeBoer and Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders. And John DeBoer is going to tell you about the song that was just playing.
Yes, that was the Thunder's Honoring song off of the Shadowlands Flute Song album, the recent one, and it's the honoring song. And when you hear the thunder, remember me, for I am playing my honoring song. Thankful for the rain, thankful for the wonders of the Earth Mother, and the gifts the Creator has given us. Honoring the people that I love, honoring my friends who are now on the spirit path. Remembering what joy and wonderful memories they all have given me, and the many lessons I have learned from them. Many different feathers blow in the wind, and all of our flute songs honor the Creator. My heart sings and my flute cries out to my friends, to the people I love, to all on their spirit journey. I honor you with this, my song. And that was about the honoring song.
That's just beautiful, John.
Yeah, that's,
and you're the spirit of thunder, right?
Yeah, that's actually a quote from the book that I'm working on right now about the songs, and it's like little stories about the songs. Actually, the background, if you look on the album, Shadowland Flute Songs, it says Thunder's Honoring Song, and then it has little parentheses for Starlight. Now, this is a really sad story, but it's a really wonderful story too. Starlight had two granddaughters that were born, and they only lived for just one lived for about a minute, and the other lived for less than 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And she told me that, you know, about this, that her daughter had lost two children basically at birth, but she was happy that they had a chance to live and that they had become, you know, beings, and that she knew that they would for sure would be with the Creator in heaven. And I thought, you know, and so that was the inspiration behind the honoring song. And I thought this, you know, to honor her and honor the children. And that was where actually that came from, and the deep thunder and all that. That was the actual inspiration for that song originally. But I use it as an honoring song to honor many, many people, alive and ones who have went on the spirit path. But anyway, and that's, the Shadowlands Flute Song album is a very deep, it's kind of a, and it has, you know, it's things from the Shadowlands, and it's a really wonderful album, but it's kind of mist, you know, kind of makes me misty, you know, and much of it is very mystical in its origins. But anyway, it's good to hear your voice again. I know that you have been
always
going
through. Great to hear your voice, John. Mm-hmm. And you went on the May the 18th Night Song Walk mm-hmm. in the Fallen Star. Mm-hmm. And that's really neat that you just told the story about the two stars that were born. You told me that they didn't come show out that night, did you? Is that correct? They didn't shine.
Yeah. The nature walks that I do are, they go, there's a lot of flute playing, of course,
uh-huh.
And there's a lot of storytelling, of course, and whether they're, on the night song walk, okay, many times it's under the stars and sometimes it's just at night, but it's nice to be out in nature at night, and we're in the woods and we're out on the prairie, and it's a nice time, Mother Nature at night is really a wonderful thing, and I generally don't have, we don't use flashlights or any of that other stuff, and it was a really wonderful journey that night. We I played and we were down by the Stillwater River and it was really, really peaceful, and we were out on the prairie, and it was a really nice walk. I do three or four evening walks a year and just take people out in the woods and out on the prairies and down by the streams and in the dark and play the flute, and it's a nice little journey into Mother Nature, with Mother Nature anyway.
You also said to me that you play mostly with nature, with the natural waterfalls, and mm-hmm. but with all of your music that you put on CDs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost all of my flute, of my Native American flute song albums, where I use Native American flute is I go out into the woods and start to play, and the songs kind of come to me. So most, I'd say 99% of the songs were created in the woods. And we're a gift, from the Creator, and that's the way I feel, and in one form or another, and so they're, it's all the trilogy, the Flute Songs for a Blue Moon, which is the first of the trilogy, In the Spirit, which is the middle album, and now the Shadowland Flute Songs. Almost all of these, all the stuff, is written in Mother Nature. And when you listen to it, it has waterfalls in the background, and it's an inspiration from the Creator, and about nature and about legends and stories and all that. It's inspired. The music is inspired out in nature, and it's developed out there. I spend a lot of time. I'm a naturalist, and I spend a lot of time out in the woods and by the streams and in the prairies and that is where most of the music that I write on the Native American flute comes from.
Would you please give out your site so that some people and the listeners could find where to go to be able to get some of your CDs or all of your CDs and the best packages to be able to purchase?
Okay. Well, to start off with, I'm a big MySpace fan, so you can go to MySpace, which is pretty common for most people, and I like the MySpace because it actually has, I have, video stuff out there, and I have of course the music, and then there's pictures, and then I also have a blog out there where I have a lot of the stories that I tell on the blog, and that would be at www.myspace.com and then that /John DeBoer, and that would be And that would be one of the spaces where you could actually listen to a lot of different things that I do, and get a really wide but you can and then of course if you'd like to buy albums directly from me, you can go to eBay at Skydancer Designs, and and you can buy it directly from me, and I'll actually sign your album for you. And if you would like to buy an album, all you have to do is type in John DeBoer Flute, and you'll get it. It is on all major, you know, downloading things, and you can get them all over the place. Okay, but
and you could spell your last name.
Oh, DeBoer, capital D-E, capital B-O-E-R, and just type in John DeBoer Flute, and you'll get 10 pages of of John DeBoer places that you can buy, you know, every place from, you know, every place from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum.
Yes, BBS Radio has been listening to your songs all day. Don and Seth have. They just love it, just like I do. I meditate to the songs all the time, keep them running continuously. So much so that I just purchased two of your trilogies, and because I want them all. And I was talking to Raven, and she said that was the best way to go, so that's what I did. I want to also say that just talking to, found out that I was talking about weddings. And I understand that every wedding that you've ever performed, there has never been a divorce. And you were talking to David Knight, talking about David Night Eagle. You married him and his wife.
Actually,
played at his wedding.
Yeah, I played at his wedding. David Knight, I actually introduced David Night Eagle to his wife, long distance, but nevertheless, I introduced them and put them together. And I played at David Night Eagle's wedding. And David Night Eagle is not only a great flute player, but he's also a pipe carrier for the Lakota tribe. And he's over the years he's become a good friend too. And I played at his wedding, but I have played at weddings for 30 some years. Okay, which makes me a little bit older than what you thought, probably, but I started when I was 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, yes. All the weddings I've played at, all the people who I played at their weddings, they're still married, which is like, to me, was like, I couldn't even believe it. Statistically, that's impossible.
That's amazing.
You know, I was like, wait a second.
No, no.
Yeah, it's like, so, you know, you have to understand, you know, a lot of, they call it the Native American love flute to start with, and, you know, many people use it as a courting instrument. When I met my wife, who is Cherokee, she bought me my first Native American flute, and that was 35 years ago, and to court her with, and it worked.
Y'all met.
And we're still married.
You were looking for directions on this thing,
right? But yeah, I played at many people's weddings, and I love playing at weddings. It's one of the things, you know, it's a great joy for me. It's a very, very happy time, and the flute really does add something very, very special. Especially the Native American flute; it's a very spiritual instrument, it adds an element to, you know, the flute is very primal. It, you know, goes back, you know, I mean, the Native American flute and its origins. You know, any place from 2,000 to 10,000 years, depending upon who, you know, what expert you believe in. But there it's an ancient sound, and I, you know, I think that it brings all, you know, many of those things to that, to the wedding, as well as it is a love flute. It's, you know, it's, to me, it's a, it, you know, it has always brought a wonderful, a feeling and wonderful vibes, and I think it does that to most people. So it's a great thing for women. Yeah, and you know, yes, so that is true.
I
always tell people, now don't break my. I have a run going.
Don't break my run. Yeah.
By the way, I just did a wedding this last.
Did you?
I was out at the park and I did a wedding at Charleston Falls, and
awesome.
and that was just last week, and I told the mother of the bride that this is something that I don't advertise or I don't say, but I told her.
Oh, I would.
Yeah, and she thought that was real funny.
I would tell them all. Because that is something else, John.
Yeah, well, that, you know.
John DeBoer.
Yeah, but anyway, that's funny. That's just something that's been over, you know, over.
You put your spirit and soul into this music and into the flute. As a matter of fact, did the Eagles Cry?
Eagles Cry, yeah.
Oh, John, I put that on my About Me. If you click on my name on BBS Radio and go to my page, that's the one that I put into the YouTube for, you know, your debuting on BBS Radio with this interview, because it is so impressively, gorgeously well. Oh, the fire dances, and the way you bring your fingers straight up and then right down on top of the hole, just, you know, I'm just like, oh, and with your eyes shut.
Yeah. It, well, you know,
it's like you just know exactly where to put everything, and your soul is into the music.
Well, it, you know, that actually was inspired.
You didn't even break a sweat.
Yeah, that was actually inspired. Yeah, that actually was inspired. Eagle's Cry was inspired by an experience that I had when I was traveling out west, and I was actually on my way to David Knight Eagle's house years ago, and I was I was at Lake Dardanello, and I had stopped off to the side of the road just to play for a little bit and relax, and I could hear many birds singing to the call of the flute. This is not unusual. The birds often sing along with the voice of the Native American flute. And I remarked to Raven, a sky dancer, I said, do you hear them? About halfway through the second song of the chorus, different types of birds, way off in the distance, I thought I heard eagles. And I said, do you hear them? And at the end of the song, and Raven said, I said, are those eagles? And she said, I think they're crows. And I said, oh. So I started to play the third song, and as I started to play, the eagle's cries came closer and closer, and eventually overpowering the sound of all the other birds in the forest, and leaving no doubt that it was the voice of the eagles. I stepped into the opening and looked up at the sky. As I played, I could see and catch a glimpse of the eagles. As I did, the eagles' voices became louder and louder and permeating the forest, overshadowing all the other sounds. It's so intense.
Oh,
I could feel in my heart they have arrived. They just were huge, soaring over my head, majestic. They swooped down with their steely eyes upon me, looking directly at this strange, ugly bird on the ground making these weird noises. That was me.
That was me.
And
the beauty of the flute and
the
y'all.
In their voice, I could hear them singing, "We are free and shall always be.
Awesome.
It is our right to take to flight and soar the clear blue sky." I turned to Raven and I said, "Eagles, not crows."
Oh my gosh!
And
you were going to David Knight Eagles.
And it was so, you know, that, and then that song that I was playing right there was in fact and did become Eagles Cry. But anyway, yeah, Eagles Cry has been a big. It's been hit on the web over a million times.
Isn't
so it's a very flute purists like it because it's basically there's no other things in it and it's a very straightforward song and it has something there's something about it. And
there
it really did, and the song really did call in the Eagles, so
it called in the Eagles in that I Am instant message I was talking to my friend, Josie, about, and she saw the visions of the eagle, and I was seeing white eagles.
Yeah, I noticed that,
sent you.
I've seen that happen before. Many people listen to, the only copy tune or the only popular tune or whatever you want to call it that I've ever recorded was Amazing Grace and Taps that I play together.
Really difficult, isn't it?
When I play it, though, people, I've had people tell me, I see this when you play this. I seen this. And they always preface it with, this is going to sound really strange, but when you were playing this song, and same way with Eagles Cry and a number of different songs, but they preface it with, I see this. And strangely enough, many, many times, the thing that they're describing that they see, I see at the same time when I'm playing the song, which is like very strange. So there is something to what you're saying about seeing eagles and all those different things. That happens quite a bit. Not just on Eagles Cry though, but on many different things of the songs. I just had a person illustrate the book that I'm about to release here, and of course a lot of the stuff she just visualized a lot of the stuff, and she knew she was illustrating stories to go with the songs, and she would listen to the songs and she would read the stories and then she would illustrate. Her name's Susan Nelson. She's a wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, thank you for
artist.
Letting us know.
And I was totally amazed that of the pictures that she drew, because most of the stuff, of course there has been some editing, but most of the stuff that she gave me, I'd say is 80-90% of it. I just looked at it and said, "Wow, that's amazing."
and you
see so many of the things that I see while I'm doing it. I was just amazed by that. But I think the music has a visual component to it. Has its own little world that it lives in.
That's a perfect explanation.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, there's been like three animations that people do to my music. Okay, and one of the Kim Hunter from from Canada that did a thing called My Hometown, and it's all about the huge white bears that they have in the north, and where she grew up and everything. But anyway, but she has she said, "Oh, you know, I took one of your songs, and I'm asking your permission to use one of your songs as the soundtrack for one of my animations." And she said, I have it put to the animation. I want your permission to use it. And then she sent a copy. She already had it done. And she said it's just perfect. It fits just perfect. And I looked at it and I said, wow, it really does fit just perfect. There's a visual component, like Daniel Seaman did another. He did one. He's an art student, and he did a thing called Coyote Steals Fire. And he used a thing called Cry for a Vision, where it has, you know, in the beginning of Cry for a Vision, which is on the new album too, it a Shadowlands.
Yeah, I love that.
It has wolves, you know, and coyotes that are going to, you know, in the background,
that one, you do have the coming out of that hut. Coming across the hut in Eagle's Cry.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have but what I'm trying to say is there are many animations that have been done to that. So there's a visual. I noticed that and there's also the creator's voice there's been a wonderful animation done to it what I'm trying to say is I do a visual art and I do animations and everything as well. I'm no good though. I'm not, you know, I mean, I'm okay,
John,
but I'm
I
not,
believe you are.
But
really
not my forte. But somehow when I write and when I play, I visualize. And that's one of the things that I do. And amazingly enough is what I'm saying is other artists and everything kind of pick up on that, and they kind of translate that. And so actually my music has been used quite a bit for animations and soundtracks, PBS special and, you know, things like that. So it's, you know, so it's like, you know, they're, you know, it's been used and it has a visual component to it is what I'm trying to say.
It also has words. I keep writing to it.
Yeah.
I write a lot of my work to your song.
I know a lot of people actually say that they like to read to it or they like to study to it because it has no words to it, of course, and so it allows them to think and to create art or, you know, visualize things while they're doing it, and the words don't interfere. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It doesn't have words, so it just has more visualization to it. And so it allows them to do that. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
What I like to do, John, is I take the music, put it on, and I write what it's speaking to me, what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like Love of a Songbird came out of that. Loons of the Moonlight.
Oh, Loons in the Moonlight, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it was about, it got fifth place, I believe, in one of the magazines, and several of them, they're not lyrics, they're like poems or stories that I write to, but I don't use the music, I just, you know, when I finish, it's just the words that I get out of them, you know?
Right.
And the meditations, oh my goodness gracious,
well,
I can go there and not come back.
Yeah, I when I play, I try to go into that deep alpha state, you know, that's one of the, you know, and when I write, I try to go into that, you know, I try to get that, you know, I try to go into the into that deep that deep state, you know, of inspiration or whatever you want to call it, you know. So I kind of float away with the, you know, with the cosmos, and you know, and try to do that, you know, and I think that translates, you know, when I. You know, when I'm recording and everything, I do that too. I try to get that perfect feel, you know, that little bit of, magic, if you must, that time, you know, when the planets align, if you must, you know, that moment, you know, when you're really out there and you're really in it, you're really, you know, you can feel that, you know, you can hear it. It's like, you know,
Parade magazine. I forget what it was, but it was a couple of years ago that I wrote that, and it got a lot of recognition from that. And I was like, "Well, it Lings in the Moonlight." And then you told the story. Would you like to tell the story of Lings in the Moonlight? That's my favorite.
Well, Lings in the Moonlight. Actually,
boy.
Yeah, Lings in the Moonlight is a wonderful, wonderful song. Start out with it actually has all of the songs actually have a bunch of different stories that whirl around them, if you must. You know, generally they have a story of creation, you know, how it actually came to be, and you know, then it actually has a story generally that inspired it. And then, you know, and many times it'll have a story of about the instrument, even the instrument that I'm using. It'll have a story about the flute, the particular flute. But then it will also inspire me after to write other things, and it actually inspires me. Like Lunes and Moonlight actually is a nature song that that I wrote, and one of my favorite stories about loons in the moonlight is The Gift. Okay, and it's and this was after I'd written Loons in the Moonlight, and I the little flute that I play it on I had in my pocket. It's a very, very high song.
The flute
that I play is a real, what they call a high D flute, and it's a real it sounds like loons, okay?
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I was in a school, and I was teaching at a Catholic school, as a matter of fact, and I was teaching music, and one of the nuns came down to me and asked me if I would play the flute at the Montessori school, their preschool, and I said sure, no problem. So I danced into the preschool playing my flute and like Cocopelli, and the kids loved it, and as they always do, and the children laughed and clapped, and I had a great time. And when I was finished on my way out, I noticed that there was a little boy, obviously sick, and he was kind of drooling on himself, and one of the nuns was holding him, and so I was playing myself out of the room, so I bent down and spun around beside him and played next to him, and then I was gone. I left the room and didn't think too much about it. Went back to the high school and started teaching again. But after a long day, and I was packing up my books and everything, the nun that was holding the little boy came by, and she said, I'd like to personally thank you for coming to the class. She had tears in her eyes, and she said, the little boy that I was holding, his name's Johnny, and he has cerebral palsy, and I haven't seen him smile in a month, and today he smiled for the first time, and she says, I think you're an angel, and I told her, I said, I can assure you beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am not, I'm in fact not an angel, and I'm just a guy, you know, who's been gifted with a magic
flute.
That is just
so beautiful.
And music to me is a gift. It's a gift from my mother, and a gift to my mother from her father, and a gift to him from his father. And the Creator gifts me songs, and he gifts me flutes. And I've been given over $20,000 worth of Native American flutes from the makers. And gifts are very important to people. They're very important to Native people, but they're very important to all people.
The giveaway.
And music has been a gift to me. That's the gift, and that's one of the things from it. But the loons and the moonlight that I know that you're talking about is the story about late one night there was a young brave was awakened by the sounds of a hauntingly beautiful voice. The enchanting voice called, and the brave followed the sound to the banks of the lake. As the mist rose off the surface of the water, he sat by the lake and listened to the mystical voices, dreaming of a beautiful lady singing the mesmerizing song. He searched for her in the moonlight until the red sky of the morning and the rising sun dried the dew on the grass and the melodies faded away. Every night he awoke to her voice and followed it to the lake and searched in vain for the lady in the midst. He fell deeply in love with the soul whose mystical song touched his heart and became very depressed that he could never find the one who moved him so. He was so sad that he became very sick. He would not eat, he would not sleep, and lost his will to live. Close to death, he lay by the lake, still hoping to see the lady, when out of the mist appeared a figure singing a magic song. Although there were no words to the song, it told him that the lady of the mist had a gift for him, so he would always have her voice with him to bring joy to his heart and console him when he was sad. She had a special present for him. When the figure approached him, she appeared to him as a majestic loon, gliding across the water towards him. She took a reed from the lake and placed it into his hand. It was transformed into a beautiful reed flute with the most wonderful magical voice. And then she disappeared with the mist. The brave played the flute, and as it sang out, he became strong. The voice of the flute always brought joy, not only to him, but to everyone who heard it. The flute not only consoled him, but he consoled others with the mystical voice. At first, twilight, in the early morning mist, you can hear the voice of the lady of the lake in the reed flute as it echoes across the water like loons in the moonlight.
Oh,
and that's the original Loons in the
that
Moonlight.
That is so beautiful. No wonder that little boy smiled. You know, John, you just touched so many people's hearts. And you just touched so many people. And I know that it's a gift that you get, and you just freely give it out to others, and it comes from your soul. Not many people are connected to their soul like, you know, you are, and that you play from your spirit soul. And I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to have been able to talk to you on BBS Radio. And I know that so many other people would love to speak to you, but we only have 10 minutes. I don't know if you wanted to take any call-ins or if you want to continue to just talk or, because I want to ask you what, how, you know, there's so many things I still want to know. So I don't know what you want to do here.
Well, it's up to you. It's your show. Go right ahead, Kat. It's just nice to talk to you, and you do whatever you want to. And it was nice hearing your voice. I know that you had some medical problems this last couple of weeks, and I'm glad you're out of it, and glad that you're cooking right along. And it's good to hear your voice, and good to hear you in good spirits.
Oh, thank you, John. You were on my interview tonight, and we had just spoken on the phone, hadn't we, when I had that attack. And you were supposed to do the interview. So, yeah, that's what happened. I had that heart problem. And I appreciate that. That is so sweet of you to say. Thank you
so
much.
Well, it really is nice to be back, and nice to hear your voice, as I would say, it's nice to be here. It's nice to be anywhere.
Yeah, this is the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show with Kathy.
Yeah, Cousin. Life is a very precious thing, and it's a very precious gift. And the Creator, has things for us to do, and that's why He keeps us around, Kat. And
that's right.
I know there's much more work that He wants you to do, and I'm glad to be part of it.
Oh, John, you are such a big part of it. You're listening to John DeBoer, and his MySpace page is http or just www.myspace.com/ John DeBoer. That's JohnDeBoer. There you will find all the information that you will ever need to know, or you can Google or Yahoo or any search engine his name. You will find all his music. You will find samples of his music, and you will be able to go to eBay and purchase his songs, his music. It's Sky Dancer, the Shadowland Lute Songs, and please, listen up and tune in to John DeBoer, Spirit of Thunder. And John, one question. What is and how is and how do you know the flute to pick up to play for the day?
Well, that's, I get up in the morning and I start playing. And I honestly have a kind of a ritual that I go through. And in the morning, and I play morning songs. That's the first thing that I do. And I generally get up pre-dawn, and then, I have a cup of tea, and then after I have my cup of tea, then I go out and I do my morning songs, and then I start my day. I have certain flutes that, but it really doesn't make any difference. A lot of times I'll play a flute for a while, and then I'll pick up a new flute, or I'll have a new flute, or somebody will gift me a flute, or I'll feel, and I really don't know. It depends upon the day. Sometimes I get up and I feel like a big flute, the deep, heavy, sound. And sometimes I, feel like, I like to have, the real high bird sound flute, and so it's, it really, and
that
I feel, just like you feel,
have.
I feel different every day when I
know. Tell them how many flutes you have. This is amazing. How many flutes do you own?
Well, actually, I've been gifted over 40 flutes. From the makers. I just, they're absolutely wonderful flutes. I mean, I could not have, after I released my first album with Oyate Music Group, I started receiving, on the inside I said, I put a little thing that said, Magic Flutes by David Night Eagle and Scott Loomis, which were the two flutes that I had at the time. And then I started receiving emails and letters and everything, because the album did relatively well. It was, some of it was used on PBS specials on radio, and had been made into animations and everything else. So it did good, but I started receiving, but I received the flutes, wonderful flutes. The flute from the gift was by Paul Pitt. Coyote Clay is his name. Leonard McCann, who's Lone Crow Flutes. Matt Stewart, Stellar Flutes. Scott Loomis, of course, one of my first flute makers. Billy Crowbeak, Woodpecker Creations, David Nightingale, of course, one of my first ones. Tony Richards, actually the only flute, Native American flute that I have that's actually made out of this country, made in Australia. Richard Hall and Christy Keek of Christy Combs Flutes, wonderful, very inspired. Work a lot with children and charities and things. Real good stuff. Wonderful flutes. Ken Light, of course, Amon Flutes. He does stuff for Carlos Nakai as well. David Myers, wonderful flute maker. Brent Haynes, wonderful flute maker. Just gave me a wonderful. Have one of his. Imported woods that, you know, woods that's imported, ebony, black ebony flute with ruby eyes, wonderful stuff, okay?
Just,
Colin Peterson makes a wonderful flute, Earth Tones, Spirit of the Woods, Ed Hebrick makes a wonderful flute. You know, just all of these flute makers, just, you know, I mean, they. I mean, without them, I'd be gone.
Oh yeah.
And they make wonderful flutes. And they inspire me. And many of the songs that come out of the flutes, you know, of course, I couldn't make those songs if it wasn't for these wonderful flute makers. They inspire me. They really do. And many times I feel the songs are in the flute, and they're in the flute is teaching me the song. And I know that sounds strange, but it because you realize when you start to play these, it's just like the songs just roll out of these wonderful creations. You know, and these are all handmade individual flutes, you know, one of a kind, and just blow me away. But, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, those people have really made me what I am.
Wow.
I mean, they really do. Without their creations, I couldn't do what I do.
Exactly. Well, John, we've run out of time, but we will talk some more soon because we just do. And I just want to thank you so much for being a part of this hour on BBS Radio and Kathy Cook, the Bright Light Pathfinder Show. And see you out there, John.
Kathy, it was a pleasure, and just give me a call anytime, and we'll go on and on and on and on, okay?
I know, that's true, and I'll talk to Raven soon, too.
Okay,
lovely
wife.
Good.
Okay.
This is Spotlight Pathfinders, over and out.
Okay, see you then.